Our Father and our God, we're so grateful today because it is by your grace. It is through the power of God. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and you're my redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your people need to hear a word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What an awesome God. As we are preparing our hearts and before we get into the word, I'm going to ask Pastor Drummond and if he can get a little help. And even to those that are there on the overflow, we're going to be passing out our brochures again. You're going to see this several times because it is important for you to take what we're giving you and to go and share it with somebody else. God wants you to be here, but not to be here by yourself. For the whole month of August, we're going to lift up God like you've never seen before. We're going to share how we're going to move to the next level. And I've asked you before how many of you all want to move to the next level. And I saw a great show of hands there. So we're going to pass these out and we're going to make sure we're going to have more on next week. We want to make sure that you give it to your friends and to your family members. We want to make sure that you give it to your enemies. Did I say enemies? Because when you give it to your enemies, maybe they'll come and turn to your friend. Amen, somebody. In the book of Matthew, I know you wouldn't come into the house of God without the word of God. I want to thank the praise team, the musicians, praise the Lord, for your ministry and for all that God is doing in your life. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, and here at Imani, we are people of God's word. If it's not in his word, it does not deserve to be heard. Matthew chapter 28, a very familiar text, beginning with verse 16. Matthew 28, when you get it, say amen. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But there's always some. And the Bible says some doubted. And Jesus came, verse 18, and spake unto them, saying, all some power. Just a little power. The Bible says all power is given unto in heaven and in earth. Then he says, where I'm going today, this is your mission. He says, go ye therefore and do what? And do what? And do what? He says, go therefore and teach, baptizing them in the name of the, in the name of the, and the name of the, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I love that. Isn't that so sweet? Isn't God powerful? He said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the ages. I want to talk about for just a few moments, because I want you to have that opportunity to share what we're giving you. For just a few moments, the topic is your mission. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's my mission. What is your mission? What is your purpose? Maybe I need to ask you another way. What are you here for? Have you fulfilled what God has placed you here to do? You know what I discovered, that there are many of us that conclude that when we think of our mission and purpose, we discover that in a real sense we are not fulfilling our mission, and thus we conclude that life has no meaning and our lives do not matter, and what we are doing here is an exercise of futility. Yes, it is a terrible tragedy to come upon someone who has already concluded that life has no meaning and that life does not count. That their mission in life, their mere existence in life, has no relevance at all. Things that make you go, why are you here? What are you doing with what you have? Never shall forget, while I was driving one day, I read the words on this bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker said, "Is your life a message or is it a mess?" Yes, my brothers and sisters, that question speaks to all of us. For if your life is not a message, in a real sense, it may be a big mess. If your life is a message, it is because your life matters. Because you recognize that you have been, watch this, divinely designed to have a date with destiny. That God has placed you right here at this church in the right spot, in the right time, in the right moment to make a difference in someone else's life. God has called you to do more than just to take up space. God has called you to do more than just to waste time. God has called you to have more time than having a great time or a lot of fun. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I guess the question is I'm trying to raise this afternoon, do you have a mission that you understand? Is your purpose for being here being fulfilled? Or are you just taking up space and thus conclude or resigning to do, and of course I'm not talking about you, very little, just enough. I'm just having a good time. I'm having a lot of fun. Just enough to make an impact. Just enough to say that I showed up on Sabbath morning. Just enough to ease on by. Just enough. God wants to know that what is going on in your life, have you fulfilled your God-given mission? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what's my mission? Is what you're doing, does it really matter? Am I just hanging out with God? In other words, God may be asking us in 2010, is this church a message? Is it relevant? Is it making a difference? Are you making an impact? Or is it just a big mess? God is speaking to us, and God wants to know, is what we are doing, does it really matter? Does it have an impact? Does God wants to know, are we having some kind of influence in this world in which we live? Or is, like I said last week, Joe, are you just resolving to exist? Simply the bio. But But that's not what Christ says. I told you last week. Christ says that I come that you may have. And he says it Zoe, not bio. He says, I come that you may have passionate life, that you may get excited about living, that you're happy when you make a difference in the lives of someone else. God wants to know, what are you doing? Or are you just living to die? We know when you were born. But we want to know what's going on during the dash. So as we come to our text, and I'm still in the book, Matthew. As we come to our text, the master on Resurrection Sunday got up, and the Bible says he appears to his disciples some during the course of 40 days, but now the Bible tells us in Matthew's recordings of the minutes of our Lord's last meeting that the master assembles his 11 disciples together on a mountain. There on the mountain, when they see him, watch this now, they worship him. But look at what the text says. It says they worship him, but some were doubtful. The Bible says that many of them gathered together to give praise and honor and adoration to worship him. But some were still doubtful. In other words, 11 of them gathered to have church, but not everyone had church in them. In other words, everyone who decided to go and meet the master on the mountain, there were still some who were sitting in the pews of the Mountain Adventist Church who were so doubtful that they could not get into the worship experience. They could not offer the master all the praise that he was worthy of receiving. They could not offer the master, listen to me, all the wonderful, great adoration that he deserved, because they were sitting there doubting. Well, the Bible says the master then issues this great commission. Look at what he says. All authority, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the master says, if you really want your life, here it is, to have meaning, if you really want your life to matter, you've got to fulfill the mission. God has called all of us to the mission, and the mission, my brothers and sisters, contrary to popular belief and opinion, is not in here. But the mission is out there. God says, I've given you a mission, and that mission is that you need to go out into this world and share your faith. You need to go out and share and teach and let the world know. It's out in the community that God is calling us to. Let me make that plain. God needs us out there to bring people in here. Oh, you guys are missing this. Yes, I know it's a messed up community. I know you're concerned about this and that, and you don't want to get your nice Sabbath suit messed up. Oh, yes, you look good. You want to show up Sabbath morning. Oh, yes, you look good. But God says, how many folks are you reaching out there? It's the community that God says you need to get out to. It's those who are still out there. I never shall forget that portrait of the young man and all the hands coming down. Referring that we're not going to let anyone be left behind. But we're going to go out and we're going to reach out and we're going to tell and help those get in. It's like when you have a job. You know how we are. When you get a promotion, you want to be the only token in there. You don't want to reach out and help. That's an old term. That's a Southern term. But those of us who've been around a little while know what that means when we say token. You get in your position, you're just so happy to get there. But what about that brother, that sister who needs that job? And you can help. It's out in the community that God has called us. And how do you make a difference? Listen, the text is tailored. I'm still in God's word. The text is tailored to teach, number one, here it is. The text says you can handle those issues out in the world. You can handle the community out there is because God says, I've given you authorization. Let me hear you say authorization. I like what the text says right there in Matthew chapter 28. I'm still in the book, just in case you think I'm verse 19. Listen, it says all power, all authority. You see, it's the Greek word there for power is ekousia. It means authority. And the church in the Greek is the ekklesia. In the text, Jesus gives the ekousia, listen, to his ekklesia. Jesus says, I want you to understand something. I've got all authority. I've got all power. I'm going to give you all of that authority. I'm going to give you all of that power. You've got no reason why you can't turn the community upside down because I've given you authority. I've given you the power to make a difference. All I'm trying to say is if you are in Christ and Christ lives within you, the Bible says we are just joint heirs. Come on now. With Jesus Christ. Everything that is his is ours. Everything that is ours is his. We've been authorized. Check out now his authorization. Listen, notice. Notice if you please. We are authorized by the one who has all power. Oh, I wish you all would catch this. This thing is sweet. Watch this. All power is given unto me. All authority is mine. Listen, God says I'm God all by myself. He says I've got the power to give you which I have. All power. I run this thing. When I spoke, it was. When there was nothing void, he says, when I spoke, it came alive. He says, when I breathed my breath into dirt, that dirt became a living soul. He says, I run this thing. I've got all power. I've got all authority. It belongs to me. In other words, Jesus says, I'm in a class all by myself. The Bible says that while Jesus, talking about him being all by himself, the Bible says that while Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that all of a sudden Moses and Elijah stood there with him, and then a cloud came down. And in the theatrical, I love this, in the theatrical circle drumming, whenever the curtain comes down on the whole cast, it allows the supporting cast to clear the stage so that the star of the show can take his bow. Well, the cloud of a curtain went back up. And the Bible says Moses and Elijah were gone. And the gospel writers declare they saw no man save Jesus only. No other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Save the name of Jesus Christ. He's in a class all by himself. But then notice, not only do we have one that has all power, but he's also able to overrule. You're going to catch this a little later. So when you have his authorization, he now gives you power to overrule your opposition. When you are engaged
in a battle with the enemy. God has all power. God has, you're dealing with something right now. God has all power. God has all authority. He gives you the power to overrule your opposition. When you connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you connect with Jesus Christ, he gives you the power in his name to overrule. You can rest assured that you will have opposition. You can rest assured that you will have people to come and try to mess you up and mess you around. You can rest assured the devil will use all of his resources and forces in order to throw you off and put you off and knock you down. You can rest assured that you're going to have some storms. You're going to have some trials and tribulations in your life. But if you know the Lord for yourself, and you're involved in doing God's will, he gives you authorization. He gives you the power. He gives you what you need to overrule your opposition. The Bible says that Paul was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and thrown in jail. But he writes to the church in Philippi, I would have you to know that everything that happened unto me has worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, the gospel has been spread anyhow in spite of what has happened to me. The text says we've been authorized, but I need to move from our authorization to my second point. And my second point is our assignment. Let me hear you say assignment. He says, go therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, the imperatives in this text is to teach all nations and to make disciples. And the participles have to do with going, baptizing, and teaching. In other words, the imperatives are to make disciples. The imperatives are to teach, but then the participles tell us how we accomplish the imperatives. And the participles are go, baptize, and teach. Let me see if I can make this plain. He says to his disciples, go make disciples. He says, listen to this. Exactly what I've done for you, do it for others. In other words, God says, I want to engage in redemptive reproduction. He says, what I'm giving you, now you got to share it to someone else. So now that they got it and they will birth someone else. And God says, now after that, that's how my ministry, that's how the gospel is being spread. Because now that which you are living, that which you are doing, that which you that God has given to you, you now go out and give it to others. The Bible says you make that by your lifestyle, not just your lip style. I know you can't say amen, but you can look at amen. Oh, you know, we can talk a good game. Oh, preacher, that's good, good, good. Your lifestyle, not your lip style. God says you need to go out and to make a difference. God says you have to do for others what I've done for you. Never shall forget, one day I was traveling by plane on American Airlines. That was before 9/11. Now I fly United, or not United, now I fly Delta. I don't fly American Airlines or United. They're good. But while I was flying American Airlines years ago, there was a certain movie that was coming on, and I didn't want to see the movie. So I didn't get the headphones to see the movie. But the movie came on, and even though I didn't have the headphones, I could see the video. And the video caught my attention. It was action-packed. And I said, this looks like a good movie. So I rang the flight attendant call button, and I said, could you please allow me to purchase one of those headphones? Because I've changed my mind. I want to see the movie. And she said, sir, you already see the movie. I said, yes, but I want to hear what I'm seeing. I guess I need to ask one question. As you go on your job, when people cut you off your audio,
I want to know if they can see enough video in your life to let them know that you are a witness for Jesus Christ. But not only does he give us authorization, not only has he given us our assignment, but the number three, and I'm through, he gives us assurance that he's going to be with us every step of the way. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages." I like the way the King James Version closes it. It says, "Amen." You know what amen means, don't you? Sure enough. So be it. That's the way T-I is. Amen. And whenever God does something, the only way to punctuate what God does is saying amen. He makes a way out of no way. He opens up doors that no man can close. In other words, when God does something, our response should be amen. When the Lord brings you out, you should say something. If the Lord hasn't done anything in your life, you don't have to say anything. But if he woke you up this morning, you ought to say something. If he saved your soul, you ought to say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Did he heal your body? You ought to say something. Did he answer your prayer? You ought to say something. Did he settle your situation? You ought to say something. Maybe you don't know what to say. Maybe all you need to say is thank you, Jesus. You can bless his name. You can praise the Lord. If he has not done anything for you, you don't have to say anything. But if he's done something for you, you ought to stand up and give God some praise. God, you ought to praise God for what he's done in your life. What an awesome God. Yes, he's blessing us right now. What a powerful God. God says, look, I've given you a commission. I've given you a mission. He says, go out and share with the world. Let the people know that I love them and I'm coming again. And yes, when I'm coming again, I'm coming to take you and 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 you back home. But you got to get out. And so as we're passing out now, once again, those brochures, pass them out. I want everyone to get 3, 4, 5 of them. Pass them out. Because I want you to take what God has given you. I want you to go out to your neighbors. It's coming right now. See a brother in the back, the young brother. Pass them out. And we'll get more. But next week, Robert, we start again. Next week, we're going to be out there and we're going to be inviting men and women, boys and girls, to meet Jesus, to share our faith, because our ministry is out there. Because we got to prepare them to bring them in here and ultimately to glory.